Gieve agus fáilte chun sin clár eile an Cumann Lúchtlas Gael le mí Tom Cormac with you as usual on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock and as we always say at this time, hope you can stay with us. It's at the height of the championship season in both football and hurling and we've got two very sporting guests for you tonight. Former Donegal All-Ireland winning manager, All-Star footballer, manager of the Ulster and Compromise Rules Irish teams, Brian McInniff. Brian, good night to you. And also on the phone tonight, we've got Martin Carney, another former Donegal and Mayo player. And Martin joins as well. Good night to you, Martin.
How you doing, Tom?
Good. And sun shining in Mayo as well, despite what happened at the weekend.
It is, yeah. Well, what happened at the weekend, I think, was inevitable. And anybody watching it would have noticed the previous week against Tipperary that things weren't good. Like, basically, the team was running out of legs and out of personnel. And it was going to be a case of just when rather than if, you know, and it just happened sooner rather than later. Probably they would like to have got to the Super 8s, but it wasn't to be. And there's no disgrace in that. I just think the time had come for that particular group of players.
Yeah, and of course they had lost a couple of big players as well, hadn't they? Tom Parsons and...
Yeah, I think the loss of the midfield engine, like Tom Parsons, Shamie O'Shea, was a huge loss. But like when you look at the cumulative record that the team has had since 2011, like been in every All-Ireland semi-final since then, you know, been in five of the All-Ireland finals since then, if you include a replay, you know, all of it probably achieved with the same group of players. I mean, that's inevitable. It's going to take a toll. And I just sensed watching the lads the last day up in Newbridge that the legs weren't there any longer for a number of the more experienced players and the older players. And in an evening that was so hot, I think if there were little flaws physically there, they were going to be actually exposed. And a number of the Mayo players got found out. And there was no disgrace in it. They played very well for long periods of the game. But I think that kind of motivation that Kildare got from the kind of Newbridge or Nowhere campaign that they had, I think it gave them that little bit of extra. And when they came down the stretch at the very end, I think they won the last 5 or 6 minutes by 4-2, and that made the difference.
Not only playing Kildare, they were also playing a cause.
Well, they were playing a cause, absolutely, and you have to credit Kildare in and Kieran Neal the way he went about it. I mean, he just, you know, as you said, he created a cause and kind of took on a crusade. And basically the players responded and the public responded there. And I know last Saturday afternoon, like I was over family members there in Newbridge, and it was a very enjoyable afternoon and a hugely, a very welcoming evening from the Kildare people. And, you know, when you consider just a few miles down the road, you had the Irish Derby going on in the Curragh, and, you know, you had World Cup on big screens, etc., in the town, and the Cavan Tyrone game beforehand. It was a carnival atmosphere in the place. But from when the footballing started, Kildare just found that little bit extra when it needed most. And they had that freshness and some excellent players now. You know, they have a Kevin Feely at midfield. They have a full forward, Darrell Flynn, an outstanding footballer, actually. A guy you'd hear more of. And Paul Crippen at centre forward. And those three guys, I think, made the difference on the pitch.
Martin, can you stay with us? Well, just because I want to go to Brian McInniff. Brian, good night to you.
Good night, Tom. Nice to talk to yourself
and Martin. And I suppose the first thing I have to do is congratulate both yourself and Martin on making the Donegal Democrats 25 top 25 players over the last 60 years.
Oh, that was nice, Tom. There's no doubt about that. And I suppose Martin's probably very well deserved as well, you know. But then, seeing that, Tom, I suppose there's a lot of men that didn't make that top 50 and 30. And that might well have made it, you know. I played long enough to know that, you know. But that's the difficulty. I remember you asking me to pick some teams, and I picked them in 10-year cycles, if you remember.
Yeah.
I made a stab at maybe representation for all the years.
Tell me, Brian, we heard Martin say there that Mayo were playing not only Kildare last weekend, but also playing a cause. Are you trying to create a cause for Donegal? You're not very happy about this, having to play Dublin and Croke Park?
No doubt about that, Tom. We had the same situation with a venue called Castlebar, Martin's current home venue. And
Brian, can you just maybe hang up and we'll ring you back, because there just seems to be problem with that line there. It's just coming and going. Just probably, maybe Paul will ring you back in a second. Well, Martin, I don't know if you're aware of it or not. I think you probably are, because it's been hitting the national headlines. Donegal not happy with this having... I'm not sure if they're not happy with having to play Dublin and Croke Park, but certainly they're airing a grievance anyway about it.
I think any time, I don't blame them airing a grievance, Tom. Any time you have a new format in anything, there's going to be questions asked about it. There will be uncertainty surrounding it. People will jockey for positions. And when the new format is there, all you want is a sense of fair play and that everybody's been treated equally. And, you know, nobody has undue advantage over the other. Now, the actual, for listeners, maybe they're not fully aware of it, the format is put into three separate phases. Phase one, basically, is where the provincial champions play, I think, in Croke Park over the week, over the opening weekend. So I think in the context of Donegal played Dublin. By the way, Tom, at a ridiculous time, a Saturday night game, I think July the 13th at 7:30. They play it on that night. And then in the second phase then, the qualifiers have the home game. And in the third phase then, it's the home, Donegal will have their home advantage. So basically, it's maybe I've kind of made it more convoluted than it ought to be. But I think what most people have the problem with is that Dublin kind of will have their game in Croke Park, and they'll also use Croke Park for their home game. So that gives them two games in Croke Park, which gives them an advantage over others. Now, their home ground, as stated on the Dublin kind of website, is Parnell Park. And I have got this view, rightly or wrongly, that Parnell Park should be the place where they play their home game. And basically...
So Roscommon or Armagh should be playing them in Parnell Park?
In Parnell Park, yeah. I believe that, even though it is maybe a much lower capacity. I think it's about a 14,000 capacity. Now, I believe myself that's what should happen. But you see, I think since 2004, Dublin have rented, I think, Croke Park for all of their home games. And basically, as we know, they don't travel very often out the country. Like, in the last 3 years, they've managed to play games, two in Portlaoise and one in Nolan Park, in the first round of the championships. Before that, it was 10 years earlier. It was 2006 before they played a game outside Croke Park. So I just sometimes think that, you know, custom and practice has kind of created within the public perception that Croke Park is their home ground, whereas it's not. It's Parnell Park. And I feel myself that one of those three games, yes, one in Croke Park as per their right, but one in their home ground, which would be Parnell Park, and one then at a kind of a neutral venue. That would be my take on it if you're to do it by the letter of the law.
I think we've got Brian McInniff back on the line again. Hopefully this line is a little bit better. Hello, Brian.
Yes, Tom. Sorry I lost you there, but I would somewhat disagree with Martin. I wouldn't see them having a game in Parnell Park as well as Croke Park. A game in Dublin is in the funeral. And the fact that we would be hoping to contest maybe the top spot with them, it's sad that they've got two matches in Croke Park. You know, we've only the one in Ballybuffet.
So,
I gather our match is supposed to be a neutral venue.
Yeah, well, it is. But as Martin pointed out, Croke Park are claiming Dublin are claiming Croke Park to be their neutral venue and their home venue.
That's not fair, Tom. That's County Dublin. You know, we're only splitting hairs there. Anyway, Mick McGrath is leading a delegation up tomorrow, and fair play to him, you know, for taking the up the running, you know, in that particular situation.
But, and what are Donegal looking for, as you know?
Well, what they're looking for and what they might get is a whole different thing. Anyway, the Arshurehurst meeting them, and that's good that he's recognised the fact that maybe a wrong has been done to Donegal as such. And, you know, at this stage, I suppose, Tom, it's like blown into the wind, I would say. It was different with Kildare on the last day, but it'd be nice to think that we could get down to Clonus.
But is that what Donegal are looking for?
Not necessarily so, Tom. I spoke to Mick McGrath. Not necessarily so. I think they just want to voice their opinion on it. But say that it's very sad that Donegal or that Dublin have two matches in Croke Park. It's quite unfair. Like, they're the best team in the country for the last 5 years.
And is it wise that Donegal should be flying the flag for everybody, and that maybe there should be a united front with all the other teams?
Well, we'll take care of our own corner, Tom. I suppose that's the best way, you know. None of the rest seem to be coming forward, but none of the rest are affected the same way as Donegal has been affected.
Yeah, well, Armagh and Roscommon, the winners of that game, will be affected too, because they're going to be playing them in Croke Park in what is their home game, which, as you heard Martin Carney say, should be Parnell Park.
Well, that's their home game, and let's be fair about it, no fault to Martin, no good friends. But, you know, you couldn't be playing Roscommon in Parnell Park, no. You'd have to go to Croke Park with that venue, you know, as a venue to cater for that there. You know, it's not on.
And tell me, is it wise to raise it from a purely point of view of maybe riling up the Dublin team and the Dublin players and Dublin management?
Well, we can take that. I just done it with Donegal back in 2003 about a Castle Bar venue, and I think we got the just desserts out of it, you know, because we weren't that happy about having to travel to Castle Bar, but we weren't that unhappy either, but we gave vent to our anger, and that helped the team and the travelling population. I never saw as many people go at that particular stage in Donegal history. It was the best movement of people I ever saw.
Anyway, what are you expecting from tomorrow's meeting?
What am I expecting? Well, you'd always live in hope. You have to die in despair. And I say that it would be great if we got them down to Clonus. It would be nice if Dublin were magnanimous and said that they would come to Clonus. And why not? Because Martin is after seeing how many times they've travelled outside the city of Dublin for championship matches in Leinster. I think it was 3 or 4 over a 10-year period, and that's not fair, Tom, because Croke Park is the thing from any other hometown. You have to be worth at least 5 points to them.
But it's the draw. It was made long before. It was made at the time of the Congress which passed it, that the Leinster champions and the Ulster champions would meet this year. I'm not sure the provincial champions and would meet the following year, different champions. Should it be a case maybe that the provincial champions should all have home games on their first game?
That would be a good thought, Tom. That would be a very, very good thought going forward, but I suppose they wanted to kick it off with the best, what's conceivably is the best four teams in the country at this particular point in time, and I can understand their thinking behind that. But at the same time, though, it's tough on us. Let's be fair about it. We've already lost Patrick McBertie, and that's quite a loss. But I don't know what Mick and our central council delegate will do with them, but I'm sure they'll fight their own corner for what they believe in.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's just about getting around Croke Park that makes us leading the delegation down to Croke Park tomorrow.
So you would like to see it in Clonus?
I'd love to see it in Clonus, and why not from our own spectator point of view? It's half the journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know Clonus like the back of our hand.
Are you expecting that to happen? No, you're not so well. Anyway, look at Brian. Stay with us on the stay with us on the line. The line is dodging up, but just stay with us. We just want to go for a quick commercial break. You two stay with us, Martin, because we want to discuss maybe that game and this weekend's games as well, which sees Roscommon play Armagh, Tyrone face Cork, Fermanagh play Kildare, and Monaghan play Laois in the last round of qualifiers. Welcome back here to the GAA programme with me, Tom Cormack. My special guests tonight are Brian McAniff, who is unhappy that Donegal have to play Dublin in Croke Park and wants that game moved to Clonus. And good man, Brian, commenting there on text 086 60 25,000 from a good friend of yours, Joe Kelly, out in Glenswilly. And a few more calls coming in as well. Certainly Donegal fans maybe not all that happy. But I think we have to point out as well, in fairness, that the draw was made at the time of the new competition was passed at Congress, and the decision was that the Leinster champions and the Ulster champions meet in the first game in Croke Park. I think all the champions. So there's nothing new there. It wasn't a late decision or anything like that. Martin, overall, your championship, before we look at maybe the Super 8s, what do you make of the championship overall?
Overall, I mean, it's gone maybe the way a lot of people predicted. you know, like Kerry again have just emerged in Munster as a very, very, very powerful force. I was down at the Munster final a few weeks ago. And they have some exceptional new players coming through. You'd be hugely excited, like, if you're a Kerry man, you know, with the likes of David Clifford and Sean O'Shea coming through. And on top of that, then they have guys that, you know, likes of Jason Foley in the back line, people mightn't have heard too much about. And, you know, the likes of then Kieran Donnelly, Barry John Kane, Killeen Young, all of these guys, Darren O'Sullivan to come in. They're looking very strong again. And a very young group of players coming through and very, very skillful players. So they're going to be a force. And obviously in Connacht, Galway have come through. Galway will be looking to make a big impact this year through the Super 8s. Like, they deservedly won the Connacht final. Very exciting forwards also, as Galway always seem to have when they come good. This time in the press, in Shane Walsh and in Damien Comer and in Ian Burke indeed, but they came through in Connacht. I think a lot of people expected them to come through. I mean, many people, you know, in particular after they beat Mayo in the first round, and then in Ulster, like obviously fantastic Donegal winning the title. And, you know, even watching their under 20 play against Derry a couple of weeks ago, there's some marvellously exciting talent coming into the county at the moment and ready to kind of maybe not too far from stepping up into the senior level. So Donegal's re-emergence as Ulster champions is fantastic. But the only disappointing championship of the lot is the Leinster Championship, which is just a one-horse race, really, with Dublin, because the old powers, like the traditional powers in particular, like Meath and Offaly, you know, that we would all remember, like, I mean, they've gone to dust altogether. And me, they're particularly very, very disappointing that they haven't raised some kind of a gallop to try and stop the Dublin bandwagon over the last number of years.
And tell me, what's the feeling about the weekend games coming up? We start with Roscommon Armagh.
Roscommon Armagh, I'm impressed with Roscommon, actually. I think Roscommon have a pretty talented outfit. In the Connacht final, the game turned maybe before half-time when they lost their midfielder, Conor Cottle Compton, I think, and when I think Enda Smith took a very hard knock and went out of the game. If they can manage to get optimum games from those guys, I think they have the skill level up front. The Mortas in particular, Dermot Morta and his brother, are very, very, very good players. Now, by all accounts, last weekend, Armagh struggled in their qualifier to get past Clare. In fact, I think it was just in the last few minutes that they managed to kind of get their noses in front. But I was thinking, on the basis of talent alone, and if they can open up the game, Roscommon can win that game.
And then moving on to Tyrone and Cork.
Cork were abject, and that's been kind of kind to them. In the Munster final, they were dreadful, actually. Like, when you think of it this way, Tom, Cork scored two goals in the first 9 minutes of that game. And in their entire game, they scored two goals and 3 points. And Kerry scored 3:14 in that, and Kerry could have scored a hell of a sight more. Cork were dismal. And I can't see them coming close to Tyrone, actually, in particular if Tyrone have their game face on them. Like, you know, Tyrone's record in the qualifiers is, I think, the most impressive of any team in the country. And even last weekend, I think it will stand to them the way they kind of came through their battle with Cavan. I just think, like, at the moment, the likes of Matty Donnelly, Niall Sludden, you know, Conor McAlisky, Ronan O'Neill, good guys up front. And they seem to be getting into a good kind of rhythm at the moment. And I'll be honest about it, I think they're playing a team at the minute that are short in confidence, short in talent, and very, very short in belief, you know, and that's Cork. And so therefore I see Tyrone winning that one.
Yeah. And back to you, Brian. Brian, I know you were in Cork at the weekend. What's the mood like down there?
Very, very low, Tom. There's no doubt about Cork are on the floor. Now, normally Cork do very well against Tyrone, but at this point in time, it's very, very hard to see Cork beating Tyrone. You know, Tyrone, I won't say they're going as well as they might go, but they're much far ahead of Cork at this point in time. Roscommon and Armagh, well, you would have to fancy Roscommon, there is no doubt about that. But McGinney got a good bit out of that Armagh team in the second half, but saying that, they're only playing in bits and pieces. They played Sligo and Markovich Park, and again, the more game against Clare, they had a very poor first half, and they came good later in the second half and kicked on. Armagh won't be far away, but overall, I think Roscommon will have too much for them.
And looking, your neighbours, of course, taking on Kildare. Kildare will be on a high this week. Is there a possibility that they could be, you know, vulnerable?
I think that we, you know, couldn't get them a better time. They were high for a lot of reasons. We've seen them in Ballyshannon. There's a lot of very good teams, but I don't know that the belly of them is any better than the ones here before. And against the Fulham, it had a good chance, but this last week, you'd have to say that you fancy Kildare, but I do feel that Fulham have the capacity to beat them.
And finally, Brian, the Monaghan Laois.
Well, I'd have to go for Monaghan Laois. To retain their up and down spots, you know, and I don't think that, I think it's got the consistency, and I think Monaghan got the skill area there, and I don't think they'll be caught again.
Look at Brian, unfortunately that line isn't great, we'll have to let you go, but anyway, look at
what I want to do is, before I go, and I'll talk very loud, I want to wish the delegation all the best tomorrow. Go in and fight like dogs, even if you don't believe you're going to get anything. Further down the road, there might be something in the forest, but you know, I'm still hopeful that we could get back on the tour if we push hard enough.
Look, thanks to you, Brian. And finally, Martin, back to you. We look at those other two games, Fermanagh, Kildare, Monaghan, Laois. How do you see them go?
Well, Fermanagh, Kildare, I think Fermanagh have a style of play, Tom, that could actually frustrate Kildare. Like, Kildare's game against Mayo last weekend was based on a very powerful midfield pairing in Kevin Moolick, in Trevor Moolick, rather, and Kevin Feely, and two very good central attackers in Paul Cribben and the guy up front, Darrell Flynn. But I sense that the way, like I've seen Fermanagh twice this summer, obviously in the Ulster final, but also against Monaghan, and they just have a style of play that if it manages to kind of click into gear, it can really frustrate a team. And they might just have in their armoury the style of game that might actually draw Kildare down a bit and maybe prevent Kildare getting like the high score that they got, for example, last weekend. They got 21 points against Mayo last weekend. I think they'll do well to get 13 or 14 against Fermanagh. Now, it's what Fermanagh can do at the other end of the field then matters. But, you know, the Quigleys are good, you know, can score. Corrigan can score. And the McCuskers are great workers. But, you know, on present form and on what they did last weekend, there wasn't much point in Kildare beating Mayo if they cannot follow it up now and beat Fermanagh. But it'll be a hell of a sight narrower than a lot of people think.
And finally, before we go to that Monaghan Laois game, a text in here. What a load of nonsense, Revenue. Dublin play all their home games in the National League in Croke Park. The only problem is the time on a Saturday evening. That's in from Charlie O'Donnell. And Charlie texts us on 086 60 25,000. And Monaghan Laois.
Well, Monaghan Laois, like, I mean, when you look at Laois, like, Laois went down, wasn't it? Did they go down to the fourth division this year? They had a dreadful National League. I think they got relegated, and yet though, Tom, in the Leinster final, they put up a very very Laois were a fourth division side rather this year. They got promoted, I should say, but they put up a very credible first half against Dublin, but fell to pieces after that. Monaghan again, you know, on the basis of what we have seen in them in the Ulster Championship, and okay, they had a convincing win against Leitrim, but I'm told from people who were in Carrick and Shannon that Leitrim had great opportunities in that game that could have made it an awful lot more difficult for Monaghan. They missed a couple of great goaling chances, but I do think Monaghan should win it. But Laois have a couple of guys in the forward line. They have Kingston lads in the forward line, and if those guys got a supply of ball, they could actually cause trouble. But again, if I was going into Paddy Power, I'd put it on Monaghan.
At the Super League, the Super 8s overall, it's a new competition. Do you welcome it?
I welcome it. Like, I mean, as I said at the top of the show here with you, Thomas, like anything that's new, it's going to be full of uncertainties, and it's going to make. I'll tell you what it'll do, Thomas. On three, isn't it on three successive weekends?
Yeah.
So what it's going to expose actually is the quality and depth or lack of depth in squads. I mean, if you get, for example, prominent players in any one of these teams picking up injuries in the first weekend, say just for argument's sake that the likes of Damien Comer picked up an injury against Kerry, or the likes of maybe, you know, Brian Fenton or somebody like that in their opening weekend, like they're gone for the next couple of weekends. Like, God forbid that something will befall Michael Murphy. Like, you know, it's bad enough having to go out without Patrick McBearty. But if one of the Donegal kind of main, shall we say, frontline players picked up an injury, the likes of Ryan McHugh, then all of a sudden, I mean, you're looking at him, you know, being absent for the following 2 weeks. And I think that's the imponderable. That's the thing that we'll find about the actual competition, is that it will make massive demands on squad depths. And in the event of teams getting injuries, they're the teams, I think, ultimately, that are going to get compromised.
And obviously, the teams with the stronger panels are the ones that are going to come through, like Dublin, like Kerry.
Well, like Dublin and like Kerry, I think Donegal, in fairness, have a strong enough panel. But, you know, I've seen quite a bit of Roscommon. Roscommon might just have that depth to actually cover up for maybe, you know, fatigue and all of that. If you look at the conditions we have at the moment, Tom, if they continue, say, over the weekend, you'll have players playing in very, very oppressive conditions that will take quite a bit out of them. And, you know, a lot of managers will kind of see maybe fatigue, you know, being a factor with their players the following week, and they'd love to have players of comparable ability to come in and replace those. But there's not every panel can do that. And I think that's what the main thing I'll look to is to see how can the various panels cope with injuries, with loss of form, and with maybe, you know, shall we say, the unwanted red card.
Before we let you go, Dublin still the favourites, are they?
I'd say they are. Look, I mean, at the moment, I thought, to be honest with you, the Munster final when I saw Kerry, I said they're the favourites. But God, as Brian said a few moments ago, I mean, Cork were so poor in that game that maybe it's unfair to actually rate Kerry rationally. But Dublin just looked to be going from strength to strength. I mean, they have so many players kind of come in and, you know, just fill the gaps that have been left. You know, like, you have no Dear McConnelly this summer. You have no Bernard Brogan this summer. But at the same time, you have the likes of Kieran Kilkenny is going from strength to strength. You have Paddy Andrews and
Martin. Unfortunately, we're going to have to stop you there. The clock has beaten us on the wall. My thanks again to Martin Carney, to Brian McAniffin. Apologies about the line to Brian. To Paul McDevitt, who stood in for Jimmy Stafford and Sound tonight. From me, Tom Cormack, Gideon Shockton, Johugan, Slán agus Bannacht.